And our New Testament lesson is from the book of James. We'll be preaching in James most of the next few weeks as we think about what it is that James has called us to do and who it is that James is instructing us to be. So listen to these words, beginning at verse 17, and we'll conclude at verse 21 of the first chapter of the book of James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. These words from the book of James, along with our lesson from Psalm 119, are for us this day the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I start the sermon formally, much like we began worship, just an acknowledgement of things in our city. And to my knowledge, no member of this congregation was directly affected, but you need to know that we have staff members that know people who were affected. Kate Church Norman, for example, went to high school with one of the people who lost their life. There's others in our congregation that know folks. And just a pastoral call once again that we would long and live to see a day when the scourge of so much violence does not stain this good land. Amen. So, switching gears, we start with Psalm 119. And there are three things that we should know about Psalm 119. The first is that it is by far the longest psalm in the Bible. In fact, it may be the longest single chapter of anything in the Bible. I'm not exactly sure about that, but at 176 verses, it's really long. The second is that it's got one consistent theme. It is an ode to the law of God, each and every verse, all 176 of them. It begins with, "Oh, how I love your law," really, at verse 97. And verse 1 says, "Happy are those who walk in the law of the Lord." All the psalm is committed to devotion to God's law. And the final is this. It doesn't show up in the English, but in the Hebrew, this entire poem, this entire psalm, in the original language of the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, this is an acrostic poem. It's divided up actually perfectly into sections of eight, each section of eight verses beginning with the corresponding and subsequent letter of the Hebrew alphabet, literally from the first to the last. So eight sections, 22 letters long is the Hebrew alphabet. Eight times 22 gives you 176. There was something to that. They were going to give us the complete story, perfectly balanced, intending to describe all of the holy law of God, one of God's gifts to humankind, and to do so in complete detail. I mean, it quite literally sets out to tell you about God and God's law from A to Z. Everything's here. So in the eyes of the psalm, the law of God is a precious gift. Now, John Calvin, who was one of the finest biblical scholars and theologian who ever lived, saw God's law as a gift that gave us three benefits. The first was to teach us right from wrong. And when we do wrong, the conviction of the law throws us back upon the mercy of Jesus Christ. Or put it this way, the law tells us the difference between sinfulness and righteousness. And when we choose the sinfulness, or when we simply fall into it, it reminds us that we need to ask Jesus for forgiveness whenever we fall short. The second is that God's law orders families. It orders communities. It orders society. People are at peace when they do not lie to one another or steal from one another or harm one another. And the final is this, that the law teaches us the way of God. And in following the law of God, we can learn more about Jesus and become better disciples along the way. You see, Psalm 119 is a reminder of the perfection of all of God's gifts, the gifts of God's covenants, the gifts of God's law, things like sea and sky, air and river, earth and sun, the gifts of grace and mercy, love and hope, and ultimately Jesus and his resurrection. All of them, all God's gifts, perfect gifts. At its heart, that's why we worship every Sunday of the year. It's why we worship also on midweeks and on high holy days, to say thank you to God for the perfect gifts which God alone can give. And you know, even in a world where war rages, where schools can be locked down, where we are stunned by headlines, where the safety of a beautiful neighborhood can be shattered by a tragedy in East Raleigh, yet even when there's so much going on around us that is wrong, we hold fast to the wonderful trust that God's gifts are still God's gifts, and as they are from God, they are wonderful. You see, on any given day, my friends, on any given day, there are more acts of goodness than there are acts of darkness. Now, they don't get the attention. They don't get the attention they deserve, but they are there. They don't seize the headlines, but they are performed by people who seek to enact the good and to follow the laws of God and the lessons of Jesus. And it is an act of faith to believe this. It is an act of faith to trust this much. An act of faith to believe the words of the book of James, which in chapter 1, verse 17, reminds us of this. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Those words have endured for 2,000 years, and all that is good, all that is life-giving, all that is life-affirming finds its source in God, every good gift of life finding its source in the Father of lights. And we worship and we praise God to remember that this God, this Father of lights, as James calls God, is always in a giving mood. Today at 11 o'clock, we'll ordain and install new elders and deacons here in the sanctuary at White Memorial. The people in our church who have been elected to serve and lead this congregation for the next 3 years. Each of them has individual gifts. Yes, they do. But collectively, they all have a common trust in God and a love for our neighbors. They all excel in remembering the faith and the touchstone of grace which holds us all. They all believe that every good gift finds its source in God. Earlier this year, Derek Maul was our men's retreat speaker, and he recently wrote about an idea of the church being a dispenser of grace. He reminds us that we exist around here to connect people to God's grace, because the church and the world are standing in the waterfall of God's grace, and we need only be reminded that it's there. What does this waterfall of grace do? Well, it reminds us that our sins are forgiven. It tells us that we are loved when we feel unlovable. It shows us the way through fear when we are afraid. And it is the light that shines when darkness longs to overtake all. James chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved." And that's a warning to keep our hearts and minds focused upon God's transcendent and timeless truths. Why do we worship? Why do we elect officers to assist us in the worshiping life of White Memorial? Why do we call upon every member of our church, every friend of this congregation, to support our worship life with talents, times, and contributions? Because it's our way. It's our dedicated way of breathing the beauty and wonder of God's promises into the community and into the larger world. It's our way of saying that we believe peace is better than conflict. It's our way of saying that we believe kindness is greater than hate. It's our way of saying that we trust the love that hopes, believes, and endures all things. And we believe that it is God's finest gift. Gifts of ministry, worship, and witness are all dedicated to proclaiming this belief. The foundation upon which everything we might accomplish is built. Supporting our church helps us keep this foundation and this witness strong. James teaches us that every generous act of giving begins with God. He wrote the letter long ago to people who were under great pressure, great duress, great distress. So believing like James, when the fear around us grows so strong, is a kind of test of faith. Giving, when so much around us wants us to keep all things, hoarding them to ourselves, is also a commitment of faith. God has given us so much, a law that brings peace and delight, grace and mercy which abound. And even in a time that is full of hard news, remembering the purpose and promise of God is an opportunity to hold on to good news. Good news that we in the church share joyfully for the sake of the world. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we offer these many things. Amen. As we often note, sometimes we sing our own charge, and that's the charge. Go into the world. Go into the world that is desperate for words of grace and kindness. It's desperate for acts of love. Go into the world and do that. And when folks ask you why you do it, say, because God has made a claim on my life. And I respond by sharing the grace that has been conferred to me. Go to the world, friends, to love and serve one another, our neighbors, like we love ourselves, and be well until we meet again. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we be blessed. Amen.